So we're going to be reading Exodus chapter 8 and verse 20 through to verse 32. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more, in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh, and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading to us. We have had a plague where water turned to blood. We have had a plague of frogs and a plague of lice. And now we have a plague of flies. This was another terrible experience for Pharaoh and for the Egyptians. And the word swarms that is repeated here in this little passage suggests a mixture. Sometimes we think about a swarm of flies or a swarm of bees even. And they're all of a kind. But these swarms suggest that there was a multitude of different kinds, a mixture of different flies. So perhaps in these swarms there were wasps and hornets and dog flies and horse flies and mosquitoes and all kinds of biting insects that stung and nipped and sucked the blood. God told Moses to go again and confront Pharaoh with the demand, Let my people go. It's a very powerful phrase when we think about it. Let my people go. And we're reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to bring liberty to the captive and to set free the people of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ can be seen even in this little phrase, let my people go. But then the plagues of sin fell upon our Saviour's own soul, and it was he who bore the pain and he who carried our sorrow. And it was God himself who brought suffering into Christ's soul. For we're told in the book of Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise him when the Lord Jesus Christ died in our place. But this plague of flies that were sent into Egypt reminds us again that here was the command of God affixed to a threat. A threat that would be applied if Pharaoh will not listen. And how foolish a man this Pharaoh proved to be, to so resist the will of God. As such, he is a picture, or he is an object lesson to all proud sinners of what is yet to come. There will be a plague upon the souls of men and women and boys and girls if they will not do the will of God. So may all who listen today be given grace to obey the Lord and to flee from hell and to flee from the wrath that is to come and the plague of God's judgment upon our souls. There are some differences in this little account of this plague which separates it from the previous plagues that we've seen. I wonder if you noticed that it was God himself who brought this plague upon Pharaoh, and it wasn't that he used Aaron's rod or Moses' rod in order to effect the plague, which he had done in the previous occasions. Here it is God who speaks, and the flies come up into the country. This was perhaps to show Pharaoh and to confirm to the magicians that indeed it was the power of God. Remember, the magicians had said it's the finger of God, when they were not able to replicate the plague. And this proved to these men that the power was not in Aaron's rod, but the power was in the voice of the living God. And so too, the power of the gospel is not in the preacher's speech. It's not in the preacher's delivery, but in the voice of the Holy Spirit, applying the truth of the gospel to the hearts and to the minds of men and women and boys and girls. And the Holy Spirit calling dead sinners to spiritual life. And there's another difference that we see here in this plague. And that is that the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel lived, is expressly said to be preserved from the plagues or the plague of flies. So that while the flies swarmed through the whole of the land, they did not come to that area where the children of Israel lived. Now, this distinction has not been mentioned before in any of the plagues, and that has led some people to think that the earlier plagues had fallen on the children of Israel as well, although that is never explicitly said. But it definitely did not fall upon them on this occasion. And such was the discomfort and the pain that these flies, these swarms, brought on Pharaoh, that he quickly makes a proposal to Moses. And he says that the children of Israel can sacrifice in their own land. He said, you don't have to go out of the country. You don't have to go into the wilderness to sacrifice to your God. Just do it in your own land of Goshen. You know, it's interesting because very often people say, it doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter who you worship, as long as you worship. And that's become a popular idea today. It doesn't matter who you worship, doesn't matter how you worship, as long as you worship something in some way. Of course, that basically just makes every religion equal. But Moses has to tell Pharaoh that that will not do. This is a question of obedience to God, and it is a question of doing that which God has commanded. God has specified what was required in order to worship him properly. And for true worship, Israel must approach God exactly by the means and method that God had decreed. And nothing has changed. For us as sinners to approach God, we must come to him precisely in the way that he has decreed, exactly by the means and method that he specified. And that is by faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at last, Pharaoh agrees. You can go, he says, you can go. Just entreat for me with God. Just get rid of these flies from me. Anything to be rid of these swarms. But what do we find? No sooner have the flies been taken away than Pharaoh hardens his heart once more and refuses to let God's people go. Moses had said, let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore. But that is exactly what Pharaoh did. Hard hearts cannot help but rebel against God. And Pharaoh's heart was hard against God. There are a couple of interesting points that I want to draw to your attention from this passage, just by way of application. I wonder if you noticed with me as we were reading it down how the Lord separated between his people and the Egyptians. We could call this a miracle within a miracle. There was the miracle of the plague of flies, and there was also the miracle that these flies stayed in one part of the land and did not go into the land right beside where they were, which was the land where the children of Israel lived. God set limits and boundaries on these swarms of flies, so that while the Egyptians suffered under this plague, the children of Israel were free from all infestation. And that separation, or that distinguishing between these two, is a feature of God's dealings with men and women and boys and girls. The Lord said in verse 23, I will put a division between my people and thy people. I will put a division between my people and thy people. You see, not all men and women are the same in God's sight. From the beginning of God's purpose of redemption, he separated between those whom he chose to save and those who were outside of the covenant privileges of his grace. It was God's choice to do with his creation as he wished. And God chose to forgive the sin of some and to leave others to the proper judgment of their hard hearts. He showed himself thereby to be both merciful and just against sin. And the Lord also gave Pharaoh the reason for this division. He would make this distinction between his people and Pharaoh's people, listen, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. This is one of the strongest statements of sovereign grace anywhere in the Bible. This is telling us that God would make a division between his people and Pharaoh's people to this end, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Grace and salvation isn't to do with our power, but God's power. And God divides between two, a people whom he will save and a people whom he leaves in their sin, in order that we may see that he is God in the midst of the earth. Here God is explaining why he acts as he does. And that fact in itself is quite wonderful, because here is God explaining to men the reason why he's doing the things that he's doing. That in itself is quite beyond anything that we deserve. Indeed, Daniel tells us that God does according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stop God's hand or say to him, why are you doing what you're doing? And yet here God explains to Pharaoh that this division between these people, his chosen people and Pharaoh's people, is so that Pharaoh will know that the Lord is God over all the earth. That the Lord rules as a king in the midst of his people and does whatsoever he pleases. God chose to protect and bless and to show his kindness to his chosen people in the midst of the Egyptians' distress. And that could only aggravate their suffering. It ought to have humbled Pharaoh, but instead it caused him to hate God even more and to harden his heart against the Lord and his people. And here's just a final thought on this little passage of the plague of the flies. How do you and I react to this fact that God has made a division between people? Will we say that it's not fair that God should do that? Or say that God has a right to do with his creation as he wills? What will be our answer? Let us be wise as we think about this. A little later in the book of Exodus, God tells Moses, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. You see, it's God's prerogative to show mercy to whom he will. We are all sinners, and none of us deserve God's goodness. But God says, the Lord says, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Grace and mercy is God's prerogative. He will judge the wicked as he judged Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and he will show grace and mercy to his elect in Christ, to those that he has redeemed by blood and those that he has made holy for his presence. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us today. Amen.